Richard, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
So You Can Go Now is your largest solo exhibition to date. For when the MCA's doors reopen, what can a viewer expect to see?
Oh, well, all my friends tell me you're going to see some really good stuff.
That's right. So it's a lot of your work. I believe it's all of your video work. Is that correct?
I think all videos that I made are in there, yeah.
Yeah, and one of those works is Scratch an Aussie, where you play a therapist who asks a group of young white Australians about their attitudes towards Indigenous issues. What has it been like revisiting this work in 2021?
Well, I've got to tell you, not a lot's changed on the whole. I think the younger generation, the one that's coming through, they're very different, I think, to previous generations. I'm holding out some hope.
Yeah, that's great. And I guess there's been more of a push to digital activism. And I read that you've been an activist since you were 21 years old. How have you found this shift to the digital space? Do you think it's as successful as, say, physical protests?
Well, it's hard to say, but certainly it's better than nothing. Like when I was growing up, out west, we didn't have television, so we just had radio. And radio seemed to be pretty fantastic. At that time, and now we've got something. We've got radio and television. In this digital space, so I quite like it. I think it's very effective as well. You like to be rubbing shoulders with each other, but in these times, that's just not possible. So we have to deal with what's there in front of us.
That's right. I saw you had an Instagram, which is excellent.
Yeah.
And
he shows off.
Yeah, that's right. And for MCA's online program, you've created Digital Aboriginal Embassy, which critiques some of the most pressing cultural issues in contemporary society. What has it been like working online or showing this space online for the show?
Oh, look, I got to admit, I work very closely with the MCA team. They made everything possible. They actually understood it better than I did, and led me down some really good paths, I reckon. And I really enjoyed the process. Really enjoyed the results, actually. I think they're pretty good, pretty prescient, and I think it makes them for some great research.
Yeah, it's really successful in the way that you've integrated the marquee banners, which show some commentary from some visitors. And even when you enter the website, the viewer is asked whether they identify as a black fella, settler, colonizer, migrant, or just Australian, in quotations. At the time of recording, no one has selected just Australian as their answer. Are you surprised by this?
No, they get booted.
Oh, really? So does the website close?
Yeah, they get presented with the four options again.
Oh my God, I didn't realize that. That's incredible. That's awesome. And one of the works in the physical exhibition and one of your most famous works, Embassy, began in 2013. As a recreation of the original Aboriginal Tent Embassy, which was a protest camp set up outside Parliament House in 1972, of course. What is the aim of this ongoing project?
To continue and engage in new conversations, about making the world a better place. That's the aim.
Yeah, there's all different conversations in each iteration. Is that correct? You've travelled all around the world with this work.
Pardon?
And you've traveled all around the world with this work. You showed it at the Venice Biennale, and where else have you shown it?
I was in the Menege in Moscow.
Wow.
Which is like about 50 metres from the Kremlin and about 200 metres from Red Square. I was lucky enough to go there. Went to New York City. It was just a couple of streets away from Wall Street. Been to Amsterdam. Where else? Arnhem in the Netherlands. Jakarta in Indonesia. All the capital cities here in Australia.
Mm.
Yeah, it was some multiple times. And the Tate Modern has purchased an iteration of the embassy, which I'll hopefully be taking next year. Just hoping that things improve a bit there with the COVID and that sort of thing. So,
yeah, fingers crossed, hey?
Yeah.
And what will the exhibition at Tate Modern look like?
It'll be focusing on embassy, a lot of the things that go on at Tate Modern, are quite spectacular. I'm not going to fill it with spectacle. I'm going to fill it with ideas. So.
And you have famously proclaimed that Aboriginal art is a white invention, and in your practice, you mirror artists such as Jackson Pollock and Roy Lichtenstein with your work, Thank Christ I'm Not Aboriginal, Thank Christ I'm Not a Refugee. How big are these works?
Well, they're 2 metres square.
Two metres. Wow.
I think, yeah.
So are they about the same as the Lichtensteins or?
I've got no idea.
It's a very loose... Was it a loose representation of it? Of course.
They are. You look at borrowings of that look. Actually, I like the look. And he just happened to be the most famous guy that was doing that. I like the cartoon image. But as for the statement, Aboriginal art, it's a white thing. That's like Aboriginal art as we know it is a construct.
Mm.
There is Aboriginal art that is different to that, and that occurs every day, in our lives. But what is presented, in galleries, and that is quite another thing.
Mm. And are you commenting on the white male genius narrative in these works as well, or not so much?
Probably am. I believe that there's no such thing as the lone artistic genius. It's just a myth.
I think so too.
Yeah, well, all those artists have teams of people around them. They were working with almost all the great artists. Worked in collectives. So a lot of their thinking, is shaped by the thinking in those collectives, from the other artists involved in those collectives, would have shaped their thinking significantly, I think, and taken them, into directions where they likely wouldn't have gone or would have taken much longer to get to that particular place.
100%. And I think that ties in beautifully with your work, Embassy, as well, in obviously a different way.
It's a different way. It's a collective way as well. The idea of the embassy. The original idea was sheer genius, actually. We weren't allowed to talk about sovereignty. Treaties were unheard of and unthinkable, back then, and yet, establishing an embassy in Canberra, was a declaration of sovereignty, which was really powerful, and Well, it resonated around the world. You know, like when the protests happened, when the police came to remove the protesters, that was televised into like 86 countries around the world. You know, so everybody got to know about, you know, what was happening here in Australia. You know, they all knew what happened, you know, 250 years ago, but now they're aware of what's actually going on here now.
Yeah, it made a huge impact, and it's still there, correct?
Yeah, correct. There's amazing. There's an iteration of it there all times, basically.
Fantastic. Richard, thank you so much for joining us on CARV today. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Oh, no worries. Thanks a lot.